All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1071 of the Geek News Center podcast. It's Monday, October 26th. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypalme.com/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana ware at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. Absolutely thrilled to be with you. This is my last live show before I head out for the East Coast, and I've been thinking about this trip, and I have maybe an experiment I'm going to try. I will talk about that here in just a few minutes, but if you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you, and I want you to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the show and our newsletter. You can visit Geek News Central daily to read all the great content being put up by our content creators over there. Of course, if you want to stay in contact with this show, all you really have to do to reach out to me is, is to email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter at geeknews as well. So that's the best way to hook up. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook, whichever may be your social media destination of choice. For all the longtime listeners of the show, I can give you a warm welcome. And thank you for being here. It is warm in the studio tonight. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. lots going on trying to pack out the right amount of gear for the upcoming trip and just, you know, not trying to make it so I'm so heavy when I'm moving around. It's going to be a pain. But still, everything is pretty much ready and I'm ready to fly out tomorrow. But I got a great show for you today, and of course the team here is doing a great job. We definitely want you to check out our partner shows over at Know Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Todd Ani, and of course check out the Pro Gear site at progear.guru. And some new shows coming, and actually been thinking about... you know, what I've done is I have scored a huge number of podcast.tlds. If you go to podcast.live right now, it's going to take you to my live page where everything is streaming and the chat room. I've got a whole host of other podcast.domains, more than I should have bought. I paid big for the podcast live one. I think I just wanted to make sure that I got it. I think it was like almost $400 of pre-registration cost to get it before anyone else did. All in this kind of this grand scheme of things that I've been working on really in the back of my head for a couple of years. And nothing's going to change with this show per se, but I could see some new cottage shows coming around those domains to make a central hub of podcasting content. That will make it great for new content creators coming into the space. But that is probably sometime next year. In the meantime, there are going to be some new shows joining the network. You'll kind of get an idea where I'm heading as you're going to see those shows being added. But pretty excited about doing that. So before I get into the stack too deep, let's take care of the sponsor message before I share really kind of what I'm got on my mind, and we'll get into the tech content today because I do have a pretty good stack of tech stuff to go over with you. before we get out of here, before I get out of here. But GoDaddy's been a sponsor here at Geek News Central now. You know, we're going to be 10 and a half years in. And very, very excited about their ongoing support of this show. And for you, really what it boils down to is we're close here to the end of the month. And I always get nervous at the end of the month. I'm looking at the system I'm able to log into and make sure that we're going to hit the numbers we need to hit. I'm confident we're going to come through at the end of the month where we need to be. But if you've been sitting on your hands here, thinking about a new domain name, thinking about a hosting account, thinking about starting a blog, getting your business squared away, this is the time to jump on board. And I've got lots of discount codes for you to use over at GoDaddy. We've got 30% off code, we've got 99cent.com, and we've got hosting accounts that start at just $1 a month for 12 months. Of course, you want to see the details on what the price reverts to after that first year. But all these hosting deals come with a free domain. So there's, you know, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. There's $1 a month economy hosting. There's website builder that includes Microsoft Outlook email address. And again, a free domain offer, $1 a month for 12 months. And really the key to those savings, locking them in, is using my promo code. CJC at GNC.com. CJC GNC1HS. CJC GNCWP1. And, you know, 30% off code is a great one to use as well. There's a huge variety of products and services over at GoDaddy that I want you to go over and just explore and look around. There's going to be things there for your business that you may not have even realized GoDaddy had. Not to say the least, to get started or business to kind of retool. So they're really focused, especially on small business owners, helping you get your site set up nicely. And, you know, I just heard today that people that are using Wix, W-I-X.com, and we've got an article up on it on Geek News Central, and it's kind of one of these, like, easy to set up, and you drag and drop stuff. They, many of their sites were delisted from Google. And that's got to be a serious blow. So if you're one of those customers that are over there having issues, it is time to move. It's time to move to a hosting service that is going to make sure that, number one, you're indexed well with, from the hard work you put forward, to make sure that you have everything you need to be online and be reachable. It's really too bad for those sites that have been delisted from Google. It's bad, bad, bad. So anyway, definitely want you to check out GoDaddy and their products and services. So again, it's my pleasure to bring you those promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, Jason just joined the chat room. How you doing, Jason? Thanks for being here. Definitely appreciate you joining the show tonight. So here's what's on my mind. So I'm going to travel, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at the, here's the secret. I'm looking at the episode counter, right? And we're on 1,071, and that means 29 shows to get to 1,100, and it's already the 26th of October, and I'm thinking, let's see here, 16, maybe 17 shows. We're not going to get to 1,100 before the end of the year. And not that I want to make 1,100 before the end of the year. It's not that critical. But I also got to thinking that oftentimes when I'm on the road, I'm so busy that putting out a long show can sometimes be a challenge. So what I'm thinking I may attempt, and I'm not promising anything, you're going to get two shows a week no matter what, but I might throw in a midweek show. Maybe I'll do a Monday. Maybe I'll even do a short Tuesday, Wednesday, and a long on Thursday. I'm not exactly 100% sure. It may not happen the first week as I'm settling in and getting things done with the client. So, but maybe on week two, maybe I'll do that. So anyway, I'm just trying to speculate. I might try to do this. And I know that doesn't give you a lot to go with, But don't be surprised if I throw you a 25 or 30 minute show on a non-regular show day. So if something drops into your inbox, and I'll make sure I tweet it and put it up on Facebook and let you know so that there's something extra there. And I'm hoping that you guys will consume it all. But just as a little experiment here to see if a few short shows, and this is, again, really nothing long-term plan. It's just for this travel trip. And keep you guys up to date on what's going on and everything else. So that's kind of my plan here on this travel. And really, when did this come to me? In the shower. I was just kind of like, you know, scrubbing away, you know, I'm thinking about, and I'm getting, you know, everything ready to go and, you know, making sure, you know, did I put my socks in the suitcase and all that stuff. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if that will work. So no promises. I'll see what I can do. And if we get some extra ones, great. But again, this is the last live show. Everything else is going to be completely non-live produced. So it'll be, I'm going to bust it up there when it's, you know, regular release times. So just, you know, keep that in mind if you're watching the show at all live. So let's talk just a little bit about a service that I've had this morning, a call that I shouldn't have had to make. A couple of years ago, I bought my wife a, because she was, all right. Shh, my wife keeps every receipt, everything known to man in case, just in case, she has to return something. And sometimes when she has to return something, and it's been 2-3 weeks, she'll spend an hour digging through boxes to return. You get the idea, okay? Now, me, you know, the receipts get, you know, the important ones, I just take with my cell phone and snap the picture and it's done. You know, I'm never really, that's the extent of it with me. But I bought her this because she does all, keeps all these receipts, drives me crazy. Is I bought her this neat scanner, which was quote unquote supposed to be the next best thing for, you know, managing receipts and that kind of stuff. Well, it's a great scanner. Don't get me wrong. But they, you know, somehow, I don't know what happened. I signed up for their cloud service. Why I did that, please kick me. You know, it was why, I don't know. I just maybe I'm trying to make it easier for her. So this thing is like sit on the shelf. She hasn't used it. It was expensive. She hasn't used it. And matter of fact, I've grabbed it and used it more than she has. And I've got a scanner here in the studio too, a real nice HP scanner, but hers will do small business cards and all that stuff. But anyway, so my credit card, just like everyone else, you're getting these new credit cards now, right? With these safety security pins. And I had a couple of them that changed numbers. They didn't necessarily change the banks or anything, but then on a couple of them, the numbers changed. Well, somehow the neat folks, at the same time as getting a new credit card, the new credit card came, activated, and it had changed numbers. When, and I don't know how they did this, but they were able to update the credit card number on their system. I'm still haven't figured that out. And actually, my bank is trying to figure that out as well on how they did this. But because my renewal is up, they had like insane, like charging me like $15.50. And they hit me like 4 times in the month of October. You know, I'm, you know, it's paying bills and getting ready to go. I'm looking through the list. I'm like, what is this neat charge, neat charge, neat charge, neat charge? And I'm like, oh, yeah, some time ago I signed up for, and I signed up initially for a whole year. So I go over their website and I'm like, I'm going to cancel this thing. Do you think I can cancel online? No way. They convoluted, run you all over the place. I'm like, okay, this is how this is going to be. So bright and early this morning, I pick up the phone, dial their 800 number. Of course, I get someone in Timbuktu, and I'm like, listen, I'm going to cancel my service. oh, yes, sir. And I said, don't give me any sales pitch. I don't want to hear nothing. Just cancel my service and refund my credit card charges before you made this month. Because if you don't, I'm going to call the bank and we're going to get them dealt with anyway. I'll pay for the 1 month that I was realized that I was on a month to month, but I'm not paying for these other three charges. Sir, we've already sent your account is with accounting. Okay, transfer me to accounting. Transfers me to accounting, and I get an answering machine. Well, I spoke into the answer machine until it went beep the second time. And do remember, I am a retired sailor, and I can, for a better word, peel the paint. And I was not happy having been on the phone already about 30 minutes. And then it, you know, after it beeped on me, it just clicked and hung up. So I called him back and spoke to the gentleman, and he promised that customer service would call me back. Well, customer service hasn't called me back. And, so I took it to the, you know, so what I do is I go to the bank next, right? Can't cancel my service. I want to, you know, three of these charges are definitely not legit. I'll pay the one because I was too stupid not to cancel the service before the annual renewal. And and I don't want these people ever touching my credit card ever again. So we're at that point. And here I'm just going to tell you, any company that's going to operate shady like that and make it difficult to disconnect or cancel a service has no right to be a tech company in business today. So I just want to scare you guys off. My recommendation is not to buy this product based upon it's very obvious that they make it very difficult for people to leave. They sell a very expensive scanner and then they ba-boom. And I think I got it on sale. I didn't pay the full retail for it. Then they lock you in with this cloud service, quote unquote, which costs them, you know, 50 cents a month or a quarter, a dime for each customer. And they're trying to charge me $15. You know what you can get on Amazon and GoDaddy and a variety of different services for $15 a month? Please. So anyway, that's my little horror story about Neat. Neat is not so neat. Okay, as well as a few of you responded to my call up that I've got a new business opportunity. So if you're still interested, if you want to talk to me about that, definitely email me. Again, it's for serious inquiries only, someone that's looking to do something new. So let me know about that, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, that's it. And Sam, I did send you an email with the information on the app stuff. Haven't heard from you. I hope you're digging in. If you're not, email me. Want to hear from you, definitely want to. But let's get into this show. Let's get into the stack. I got a good bunch of stuff tonight. And it's this based on what I have. I had to cull. You guys know what that means? Cull, to cull articles, to cull livestock. And I culled a lot of stuff out. I think we all know when we're traveling that hotel safes are not very safe. And my advice to you is do not use a hotel safe unless you absolutely unequivocally have to. Usually if I use a hotel safe, what I will do is I'll put the room on do not disturb because I don't want housekeeping in when I'm using the hotel safe. I've never trusted them, and there's a good article on Lifehacker to show a reason why you shouldn't trust these safes either. I'm sure not all of them are the same. But, sometimes it may be better than nothing. But if anyone ever breaks into your room and you have something in your safe, they're probably going to be able to get access to it. So just be aware of that. And the actual safes at the front desk are not necessarily any better. So just be careful when you're traveling and what you travel with. Keep that in mind that sometimes maybe it's better to have your valuables on you versus still in the room, okay? Hey, there's an article on Google talking about using an artificial intelligence that they're calling Rank Brain. And I don't know exactly what this thing is made up of, But Rank Brain, according to Google, is currently responding to about 15% of searches sent daily. And these are searches that Google has never seen before. And Rank Brain, this new AI that they're calling, has been pretty accurate in basically finding the things that, finding the queries that people are looking for. So, you know, an example of an ambiguous search that that this new AI, Rank Brain, would use would be, for an example, they would say, what's the title of the consumer at the highest level of a food chain? So what's the title of the consumer at the highest level of the food chain? So why would someone ask that kind of a question to begin with? But I guess someone would. And to me, that is a, how do you respond to that even as a human? So this thing must be pretty smart to be able to respond and be able to come up with a search result with that. But maybe it's just a type of system that says, well, let me scramble it up and just grab this set of search results. Maybe it doesn't give very good research results, but knowing Google, it probably does. But anyway, Rank Brain, it's hard to believe that 15% of the Google queries that they would have would be set up to, or would be things that they had never heard before. That to me in itself is pretty impressive of a percentage, just from the standpoint that, you know, a lot of us are searching for the same thing all the time. You know, you guys are searching for GoDaddy promo codes, or you put in Geek News GoDaddy, and it's going to bring you right to that page. I don't want you to use GoDaddy promo codes because that's going to bring up 4 or 5 search results above me at coupon sites, and I don't want you to go on there. I want you to come here. But anyway, that it's interesting. Rank Brain, what they're calling an AI. All right, scientists are very excited. There's a mysterious space junk is hurtling towards Earth, and the scientists are excited about it, its impact. The object, officially known as WT-1190F, will arrive on November 13th, and it's about 3 to 6 feet long, probably hollow, which means it's almost definitely man-made. I would hope so. Don't fret, it's coming down over the Indian Ocean about 65 miles off the southern tip of Sri Lanka. How can they get that accurate when many times they haven't been able to tell us other stuff? But anyway, that's what they're saying. So, but they're excited about watching this thing come in. And maybe a really cool historical artifact. Okay, is not going to burn up. 3 feet by 6 feet long. Wouldn't it not burn up on reentry? I would think so, but maybe they're going to go look for it. I don't know. But anyway, this piece of junk could, again, be a really cool historical artifact. we'll keep you advised and see if they are actually able to see anything. I think all they're going to see is sparks and this thing burning up as it enters the atmosphere. And if they think they can really get the landing location that close, then how come they can't tell us where other stuff is going to come in? All right, the DOJ, and this is the title of the show tonight, claims that Apple should be forced to decrypt iPhones because Apple, not customers, own the operating system. They filed a response to Apple's claim that unlocking iPhone 5 would be unduly burdensome. The ongoing dispute over an All Writs Act order, the act itself dates back to 1789, is also an ongoing dispute over the use of encryption by default on Apple phones running iOS 8 or higher. So there's serious precedents that could be set in this case. The DOJ has thrown everything that they can at it that they've used in the past to have these type of these writs and these requests to be open. And of course, the FBI has worked oftentimes on they've been granted or granted powers that haven't been given them by Congress. And but Apple's standing up here and they're going to fight back. So the DOJ argues that while Apple may not own the phone, It owns the software, specifically a lock screen part of the operating system. And that's where the government makes its most unique and most dangerous assertion in this ongoing, essentially, tit-for-tat back and forth in court. Apple wrote and owns the software that runs the phone, and this software is thwarting the execution of the warrant. Apple software licensing agreement specifically specifies that iOS 7 software is licensed, not sold, and that users are merely granted a limited non-exclusive license to use the iOS software. See notices from Apple, Apple iOS software license agreement, blah, 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 attached to Exhibit C, blah, 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 blah. Apple also restricts user rights to sell or lease iOS software, although users may make a one-time permanent transfer of all license rights. They may not otherwise rent, lease, sell. You know the story here. If the judge buys this argument, the government will be free to issue all writs orders to access nearly any electronics device, bypassing the purchaser, which is you and I, and heading straight for the manufacturer. Cory Doctorow pointed out that virtually every commercial software vendor licenses its product rather than selling them. If the DOJ establishes the precedent that a product continued ownership interest in a product after it is sold obliges a company to act as an agent of the state, this could ripple out to cars, pacemakers, voting machines, tea kettles, thermostats, CCTVs, and door locks, and every other device with embedded software. Finally, government argues that approaching the owner of the phone is an unworkable option. The government wants Apple to do what it can to require the phone owner to do, basically, they want them to unlock it. So the Ninth Court, this court's October 9th order suggests that the government might attempt to compel the individual that's being issued a warrant to unlock the target phone, but that approach is also unworkable. Through counsel, Feng asserts that he has forgotten the passcode, which, if true, renders him unable to offer assistance. Even if this gentleman knew the passcode, attempting to compel him to unlock the target phone would not provide an adequate alternative to an order directed to Apple. Compelled decryption raises significant Fifth Amendment issues and creates risk that fruits of the compelled description could be suppressed. In other words, here's what what it boils down to, folks, and I can go on and on and on with this, is that the American citizens are unhappy with the ongoing Fourth Amendment issues that's been used to get access to information about people. Whereas the FBI does not want to have to go and tackle the Fifth Amendment issue. They do not want to have to go that route. It's much easier for them to get an injunction against Apple to have them open the phone than self-incrimination, the privacy stuff, all the stuff that's going on between the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. They think they can get a ruling on the Fourth and force Apple to unlock phones. I don't think Apple's going to. I really don't. But the government is not over here. The DOJ has Apple in its crosshairs, and they want blood. They want the ability for Apple to unlock phones to them. I'd love to hear, you know, we have talked about this, or I have talked about this on the show, but I haven't heard a lot of feedback from all of you. So I think we all understand that when the FBI wants to get access to someone's phone, they have a pretty good reason. The individual has done something to warrant the intention of law enforcement. But at the same time, there's also this piece of paper out there called the Constitution, where individuals do not have to incriminate themselves. And there's already case rulings that they don't have to unlock the phone if they feel they're going to be self-incriminating. So the FBI is caught between a rock and a hard place here. And some people can do it, will do it voluntarily. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where this leads and what happens with this case. It could be far, far reaching. This next article you guys are going to love. Sony filed a copyright claim against the stock video and individual license to them. So a young gentleman or a gentleman was making motion imagery that he licensed to Sony. And that was like a couple of years ago. And he's all of a sudden he finds his YouTube stuff has got a copyright violation because they're saying that Sony's saying, hey, we own that video. You don't. And they tried to lock him out. Well, the person he made the licensing agreement with was at a Sony subsidiary. So it looks like Sony was using the media maybe out even outside of the license agreement. So he had one heck of a time getting his videos unlocked. And he runs one of the top 3-4K stock footage resources. And he basically had to, you know, do a whole bunch of minutiae to get his account unlocked. So it just blows my mind here that, once again, somebody thinks they own something and they don't, and yet the original, the person that originally made the content, is being denied his livelihood. But it's been resolved, but it took a little while. And but it wasn't like a day. It's like 2 months. So that's pretty distressing. And it, I can't imagine how much it hurt this gentleman's business. About a month ago, maybe more than that, maybe back in August, there was a takedown the federal government did of a botnet called Drydex. And there was actually some arrests that were involved. Well, a little over 30 days, the folks at Rackspace are reporting that Drydex is back and running. So they're just basically saying, hey, you can fight this stuff in cyber warfare and put people in jail. But generally, there's more than one party, and they're going to, you know, relaunch the system. So this is a, you know, relatively bad botnet, but it's back up and running. Someone got stuff relocated, got the servers relaunched, and, you know, they're back in business. New York State Attorney's General Office has sent letters to Verizon, Time Warner Cable, and Cablevision, suggesting that the internet speeds they deliver to consumers don't match what the companies are promising. So he's looking for answers. And all the companies are saying, we're not doing anything, we're not doing anything. But it basically stems from consumer complaints. And this has been going on. They've been doing an analysis for about a year. And, you know, of course, the net neutrality stuff was all going on. And people were, you know, fighting with the peering agreements and all that. So some of this may have passed, maybe not, but this New York Attorney General wants answers on advertised and actuals. How many of you get actual speeds most of the time from your internet connection? I know that I don't. I know that I'm not going to get, you know, what I pay for all the time. It just doesn't happen. It really, really doesn't. And it's not always the ISP's fault. Sometimes it's, you know, the server I'm connecting to's fault. Little H2O to wet the whistle here. All right, a comet. Check this out. A comet has been found spewing, that's probably a bad word, spewing booze into space. Earlier this year, astronomers from the Paris Observatory observed a comet in our solar system spewing large amounts of ethyl alcohol, the same type found in alcoholic drinks, into space as it passed close by the sun. The comet, aptly named Comet Lovejoy, spat out the equivalent of 500 bottles of wine every second when it was most active, according to the researchers. And when they were able to tell it was alcohol by the molecule makeup of the spray or the jet stream or the, you know, the tail of the comet. So, that, I guess, if you're going to get stuck on a comet, that's the one to get stuck on, right? But I don't know if it would be drinkable. But how is that? You know, you think about that. A comet that's blasting out ethyl alcohol. Huh. Makes you really go, a little bit, doesn't it? It's not like they have a, and I know we're not talking this super duper science here, but there's no still on this comet. But I'm sure there's some scientists out there. You're rolling your eyes. I tried to make a joke. Ha ha. Okay. T-Mobile is trolling Verizon by skywriting over Verizon headquarters. They're saying, end overages now. And my daughter just got to experience paying my wife for overaging our internet bill on the mobile device at $15 a gig. So anyway, T-Mobile trolled them. And then T-Mobile got trolled right back. And basically, so that time when your wireless company CEO did a circus act to deflect the real problem, a lousy network that doesn't meet your expectations. And then again, he came back against that time you found yet another form of communicating more reliable than the T-Mobile network, smoke signals, skywriting, Pony Express. So people had some good fun over it, but the key here is T-Mobile got coverage and overages now. May people realize that T-Mobile doesn't have overages. They just slow you down. I don't know what's worse. All right, law firm bosses envision Watson-type computers replacing young lawyers. How do you replace a young lawyer with a computer to give that young lawyer enough experience to become a senior lawyer? Young lawyers have to do the things that they do to get the experience to become a senior lawyer. If they're going to, law firms are going to be replacing paralegals and young lawyers. I don't get it. But they feel by 2020, they're going to be able to reduce the number of paralegals and first year law students, or not law, no, first year lawyers. Associates, first year associates. Huh. How long before we just replace all lawyers? Oh, that would be wishful thinking. Okay, you knew it was coming. You like bacon? Yes, it's giving you cancer. Do you like hot dogs? Yes, it's giving you cancer. Do you like processed meat like Spam and those types of products? Yes, they're causing you cancer. After years of research and hundreds of studies finding links between eating certain meats and cancers, health experts have finally broken out their branding irons. Today, in a sizzling announcement, the International Agency of Research on Cancer officially marked processed meat such as bacon, hot dogs, and sausage as carcinogenic to humans, a Group 1 designation. The agency, an arm of the World Health Organization, also classified red meat such as beef, pork, lamb as probably carcinogenic to humans, a Group 2A grade. Okay. Cavemen hunted and killed animals and ate meat. We've been eating meat as humans. It's probably as long as we've actually had that designation, or maybe even before. And they're saying that eating beef, pork, and lamb qualifies as a Group 2 carcinogenic. Yet, and okay, Group 2, not as bad as Group 1, but yet a Group 1, hot dogs, bacon. Oh my. If you're a vegetarian, God bless you. I have no problem with vegetarians. But there is nothing better than a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. There is nothing better than having bacon and eggs in the morning. Now, in limited quantities, right? There's nothing better than having a big, thick steak. Right? Right? Now, again, if you're vegetarian, I'm cool with that. To each his own. And someone's going to email me and say, Todd, this is the email it's going to be get. Don't you know we were all vegetarians? That'll be the email that I'm going to get from several of you. I love you already. That we are all We were all vegetarians. We weren't meat eaters. We ate grass and weeds and fruit. You know, we and maybe some fish, but we didn't eat meat. We didn't kill animals and eat meat. Well, maybe it wasn't as readily available. Okay, it's not like I'm going to go up to Caveman, couldn't have went down to the supermarket and got a couple of steaks. All right, it's not like that. But, and one thing for sure, that was all organic meat back then. Oh, man. Study found that every additional 100 grams of red meat eaten daily increased the relative risk of colorectal cancer by 17%. Oh. Among supporting evidence, a panel cited 2011 meta-analysis, which conducted that every additional 50 grams of processed meat eaten daily raises a person's relative risk of colorectal cancer by 18%. I'm just going to stop. I'll continue on. There's some big news stories today, and also tech stories talking about how Russia, their Navy, is being very aggressive in doing activity in and around underwater cables. And it has the United States very worried. They have concerns that subs, spy ships, could cut undersea internet links or tap them. Where did they get that idea? But anyway, New York Times is saying that U.S. defense intelligence officials have been expressing increased concern about the aggressive activities by the Russian Navy, submarines, and spy ship fleet in the proximity of critical undersea communication cables, perhaps assessing them for potential attack in the event of a crisis. You really think they wouldn't? There's no evidence that the Russians or anyone else have cut cables yet, but the intelligence agency of the U.S. and its allies have observed increased activity by the Russian fleet along cable routes even close to the United States. The Putin doesn't care. He's just right now, he's all smiles and flexing his muscles and taking his, you know, his shirt off pictures because he can. And then, you know, in essence, he's flipping the bird to the United States. He doesn't care. And if you haven't figured out already, the Cold War is back. The Cold War is back. And it may not be like, ready for, you know, fire up the silos. But the Cold War is back. And if you don't think so, I'm sorry. It is. Until we have, well, Putin's going to have to be dealt with by someone at some point. And, you know, I don't know who that person may be. I don't think it's going to happen in the current administration. But, anyway, we'll see how this goes. But you know, they're basically flexing. They're saying we can do this, we can go over there, we can look at your cables, we can drive our ships over them, maybe launch submarines on them, maybe go up and poke them. You know, they can do that, and they're basically saying, what you gonna do? You know, what you gonna do? You gonna come over here? In the old days, during the Cold War. The real Cold War, where people are worried about dying from a unilateral nuclear strikes. There was, you know, when there was stuff going on, we went over and flexed and we said move, and we stayed there until they did move, or maybe sometimes we just looked at each other, but you know, we didn't take this stuff laying down. We went over there and said, hey, you know, you're not gonna bully us, you know, we're, you know, go ahead, you want to try? Yeah, but there's none of that now. We just kind of cower, or, you know, and whimper on the side. So, you know, he's going to do what he does because he can. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, not at all. And maybe they better come up with a plan B for communicating when Russia cuts the cables. You don't think in a war they're not going to go and try to kill infrastructure? That's the first thing. You know, what do? We go and kill, we turn off their lights. That's the first thing we do. You know, any type of a campaign, the first thing is put them in the dark. You know, cut the phone lines, you know, cut the communications. That's what you do. So, yeah, they should be worried. You know, all of a sudden you're surfing the net and it doesn't go anywhere anymore. Or at least it doesn't leave the United States, or people outside the United States can't get to us. So, am I surprised? No, not at all. All right, the BBC is reporting a boy, 15 years old, has been arrested. Apparently, he hacked TalkTalk. I hadn't heard about this hack, but they were, I guess it was pretty significant, but a 15-year-old was able to overcome the security system of TalkTalk, and this 15-year-old's being held on cyber crime. So, a 15-year-old, you just got to shake your head. Tom Berners-Lee, known as the father of web, has urged European politicians on Monday to save the internet by defending the concept of fair treatment of online traffic ahead of an important vote. The European Parliament this week is set to decide on key legislation governing future openness of the internet in Europe. So what he wants them to adopt in order for to preserve net neutrality, Berners-Lee has encouraged members of the European Parliament, MEPs, to vote in favor of 4 specific amendments. So those of you in the UK, listen up. To close a loophole that allows for the creation of fast lanes, these fast lanes will make it difficult for anyone who cannot afford to pay for their traffic to be prioritized, such as startups, small business, artists, activists, and educators, to compete on a level playing field. Number 2, to prevent ISPs from exempting certain applications from users' monthly bandwidth cap by letting individual countries create their own regulations on the matter. This practice is known as zero rating, something which many European countries have already banned, and would give ISPs the ability to pick up the winners and losers online. To ban ISPs, number 3, to ban ISPs from determining class of traffic and deciding which class to throttle or slow down and which to prioritize. The behavior discourages encryption, says Berners-Lee, as encrypted traffic is often bundled together in single class and then throttled. Number 4, to close a loophole allowing ISPs any time to slow down all traffic using the justification that congestion could have been impeding. So, Berners-Lee's not alone in asking MEP to adopt these amendments. His words echo an open letter directed to MEPs on Sunday, signed by major internet companies including Netflix, Reddit, Tumblr, Etsy, and BitTorrent. The signatories reference the Open Internet Order, which was reached earlier this year following a debate in the U.S. and asked European Parliament to ensure that companies around the world are afforded similar protections when operating online in Europe. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes if you want to get active over there in Europe and call your MEPs or their offices and weigh in on this, okay? Apple's facing a lawsuit over data bills tied to Wi-Fi Assist. You knew this was coming. I guess there's a couple of them. People have already finding that their bills have gotten jacked up. A lot of data being used that they didn't think was being used. So a class action lawsuit has been initiated. Details will be in the show notes. First ever online NFL game draws over 15 million viewers. Yahoo paid $10 million to the NFL to stream the first ever online-only NFL game between the Bills and the Jaguars in London. The game was mostly seen as an experiment for the NFL to test the ability of online distribution for a football game. Yahoo seems happy with the $10 million that they spent over the turnout, trumpeting 15.2 million unique visitors and 33.6 million total views for the game. Now, they did have autoplay set to the swing time landing on the play to just started. So let's see here, 10 million, and they had 15.2 million uniques. Doesn't seem like a very good investment. It really doesn't. A pretty high cost to get access to those folks. U.S. has allowed a new nuclear reactor to open for the first time in 20 years. Now, you said, what? Well, the Tennessee Valley Authority has been authorized its Watts Bar Unit 2 reactor in Spring City, Tennessee, to become operational. Of course, this nuclear power plant has only been in construction for 40 years. 40 years, folks. They started building on this thing in 1972, and they halted construction in 85 because they basically ran out of money. and basically all the rules and everything was changing. And then they spent a total of $4.2 billion from the time that they started building it to the end, and to build this power plant to operate for 40 years. So I hope they get their money's worth. It's ridiculous. 40 years to get a nuclear power plant up and running in this country. Simple insanity. All right, Siri will not answer some questions if you're not subscribed to Apple Music. If you want Siri to answer your questions about the top songs on the charts, you'll need to sign up for Apple Music first. So here's the question to ask Siri. Hey, Siri, what's the most popular song in the U.S. today? And Siri's going to respond, sorry, Todd, I can't look up the music charts for you. You don't seem to be subscribed to Apple Music. Naughty, 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 Apple. Naughty, naughty, naughty. How many of you have a pet? How many of you have to leave that pet with someone when you go on travel? Because if you left all the food out, the pet would just eat all the food and, you know, roll over and about die. Well, there's a new thing called the automatic pet feeder. It's $300. It's works on Wi-Fi and electric, and you basically can set it to open a hatch to allow them to eat within a specific compartment on a specific time and day. So it's battery operated, but seems to work pretty well. So if you need to feed the cats or the dog or something while you're out, this may be an option for you. A Supreme Court has ruled when aerial surveillance resembles an invasion, it becomes an illegal search. As you all know, that the government can fly over your house and look in your backyard and record what's back there. But a case that happened over 10 years ago, but just now is finally getting through the courts, has a little different take. Instead of the police helicopter being at 400 feet, they were literally hovering over homes to the point where solar panels were being ripped off the roofs, stuff were being scattered in people's yards. All the look in this individual's greenhouse to find his marijuana grow. When the police came knocking on the door and asked permission to search, he said, yes, of course. And of course, they found the plants because they had already seen it from a helicopter. But this time, because the helicopter was flying in a way that, for better words, as the court basically said, you're too low and you are destroying people's property, and being very aggressive. It said, when flying low leads to more than just observation, actually causes unreasonable intrusion on the ground, most commonly from an unreasonable amount of wind, dust, broken object, noise, and sheer panic, that at some point courts are compelled to step in and require a warrant before law enforcement engages in such activity. And the court agreed. So this is a first. They basically flew too low, and the neighbors helped this guy by filling out affidavits on what happened. The police said they were at 400 feet, and the neighbor said, no, they were just above my roof. They weren't at 400 feet. So the neighbors came through and basically saved this guy. Tesla's take to Autopilot Software International. Tesla's Autopilot system to go international after clearing regulatory hurdles in several countries. And so 19 countries where the brand's car is sold, except for Japan, are going to get Autopilot. So, user beware. That's all I can say. Volkswagen has lost its global sales crown to Toyota. I'm not surprised if this happened, but according to the article, it looks like Volkswagen is trying to put incentives in for people to trade in their vehicles that aren't, they're basically going to be part of the recall. And at the same time, they're hoarding cash. Because they know they got a big fine coming. So anyway, Volkswagen is going to be struggling. Verizon, on the other hand, wants to enable Wi-Fi calling, seeks FCC waiver. The AT&T already got this waiver, and the FCC had basically welcomed additional carriers to apply. So it appears Verizon's next in the hoop here to be soon to offer Wi-Fi calling. If they built better networks, they wouldn't have to have us using Wi-Fi calling. Also, AT&T, should be exciting to all of you, will give you free data for completing surveys. Yes, they'll give you a whopping 25 megabits of free data when you fill out a survey. 25 megs. Whew. They're really generous there, aren't they? There's a bill going through the Senate right now. It's called the Broadband Conduit Deployment Act of 2015. It was introduced in Congress last week, as the Washington Post's Brian Fung reported, by Anna Esho, Democrat of California, and Greg Walden, Republican of Oregon, with 26 co-sponsors. So here's what the deal is. If you tear up the road, if you redo a road, or you make a new road, you need to put pipe in to allow fiber to be blown in. So every road, this bill would require anyone getting federal financial support for a project, so any highway project, anything that has any government dollars assigned to it, would have to lay pipe in the infrastructure in order to basically allow fiber basically to be blown into neighborhoods and increase basically the capability to deploy fiber. So I think this is a good bill. It may cost us a little more money for our infrastructure projects, but the ability to basically over time improve the capability to improve backhaul is important. Have you ordered your Apple TV? It's available now. I loaded this, and because I'm not going to be home for a few weeks, I'm going to wait a couple of weeks to order it. But if you order yours today, you're going to get delivery between October 30th and November 3rd. So just to let you know, you can get your Apple TV $199 for the 64 gig version. You can add an HDMI cable for $19, Apple Care for $29. So just be aware that it is available. Get it ordered. I want to hear from all of you. I'm going to be jealous. I'm not going to be able to experience Apple TV till I get home. Okay, last couple of articles here. The IRS has been using Stingray. Remember we talked about Stingray, the phone tracking tech? Well, according to the IRS, they're tracking a lot of drug dealers and following the money. So I guess anytime they're trying to get some of our cash back, instead of trying to inhibit, people that are trying to set up nonprofits, I think it's good if they're going to go after cash. But this is like the 17th government agency that has reportedly been, it's been reported it uses Stingray. So a lot of government agencies are using that. If you're going to Vegas anytime soon, Lyft is starting operating out of the Las Vegas McCarran Airport. You are going to have to go to the car. Where are they going to? You have to go where? You can't get it on the curb, but you can get picked up in the garage. You can go to the parking garage across from the terminals. There's a designated pickup area. Uber is still working on airport access. So that'll probably come soon. But anyway, Uber and Lyft looks like to be full on in Vegas there soon. Okay, last couple of articles. Chase announces Chase Pay, its own digital wallet. Wall Street Journal, a report on Square and basically on just, burning cash before their IPO. They definitely are burning a lot of money. They raised another $30 million in funding from one of the earliest ventures. But, I like Square. I think they're a great business. They're great for startups. They really, really are. I just hope they can get their burn rate down and basically put some money in the bank. I think they're a wonderful company, and they're shaking the scene up on, getting people ease of being able to swipe cards. I've got a Square account. Love being able to process credit cards over the phone or in person. It works really, really well. All right, citing violent threats, South by Southwest has canceled both pro and anti-Gamergate panels. Gamers went a little overboard here and started threatening the show organizers. They said, okay, fine, you're out. We're not going to have you. So that's really too bad if you think about it. Walmart says, if Amazon can have delivery drones, we want them too. So mega retailer Walmart has asked the FAA for permission to test out-of-use drones for picking up and dropping off goods, or the use of drones for picking up and dropping off goods. That's just what I want. I want something from Walmart delivered to my house. No. Microsoft continues to drive some Windows 7 users crazy with nagging ads to upgrade. I've got one machine that screen pops up every time. But there are now some tools coming out to combat that. So that link will be up in the show notes. If you're getting one of those nags and you don't want to upgrade a machine, or upgrade a machine that didn't work and you had to downgrade, be aware there is some tools now to shut off those registry settings to basically make the nag go away. Okay. And finally today, a new study is suggesting that Alzheimer's is associated with a brain fungus. The study appeared in Natural Scientific Reports and is already making headlines and stirred up controversy in the research committee. Molecular biologists Diana Pisa, Luis Carrasco, and colleagues studied 25 cadavers, 14 which belonged to people with Alzheimer's. What they discovered seemed almost impossible. All 14 of the Alzheimer's sufferers had a fungal infection. Is it possible that this fungus caused the symptoms of dementia? Pisa and her colleagues couldn't rule it out. There are many treatments for fungal infections already available, and the researchers say that the next step will be tested effectiveness against Alzheimer's in living organisms. So the problem isn't that fungus. The problem is that fungus can't explain all the dementia, quote unquote. So we'll see. We'll see. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. And good find by these scientists. All right, let me go ahead and load the email here. Where are we at on time? Oh, we're doing fine. GNC comments, bada bing, bada boom. Okay, last show today is the 26th. The last show was on the 22nd. Quite a few emails. I got an email from Jeff. As sites move to SHA-2 encryption, millions face HTTPS lockout. And this is true. If you have an older computer, older browsers, as people start implementing SHA-2, the encryption standard, many of you will not be able to get into SSL sites. But this is a thing that has to be done, really. There's just too much weakness in the SHA-1. So it's too bad, it really is. But those of you with old computers, you may be facing an obsolescence issue from an SSL, basically HTTPS, a secure socket layer connection with some of the sites that you may be buying stuff from today. All right, got an email from Gentry. He says, hey guys, love the site and the podcast. Being Star Wars fans, I thought I'd shoot you guys this piece. I helped create that runs through some of the awesome ships from the Star Wars Rogue Squadron video games. It's not movie news, but it fits with upcoming films nicely, seen as Rogue One will focus on fighter pilots stealing the Death Star plans, and Force Awakens looks like it will have plenty of juicy X-Wing action. Thought your podcast family would dig it. Later, Gentry, and I'll have the link up in the show notes for that. Thanks for that, Gentry. Also got an email from Derek. He says, hey, Todd, the field of brain-computer interfaces, BCI, which began to develop nearly 25 years ago and transformed initially isolated demonstrations by a few groups into larger scientific enterprise that is currently producing hundreds of peer-reviewed articles and several dedicated conferences and workshops each year. I want to let you know that BCI demonstrations include 7-dimensional control of a robotic arm, 3-dimensional control of computer cursors, and spelling at a rate of more than 20 characters per minute. While most of these BCI demonstrations to date have been accomplished in animals or healthy human users, an increasing number of studies have shown that BCI systems can also be used with people with disabilities. So he has a link for me to check this out, and I'll provide that up in the show notes. Very exciting stuff going on in this area. It really, really is. I got an email from Peter. He said, hey, Todd, can you compress your MP4? October 19th was 840 megs for an hour. You know, Peter, I have really, really tried to make that file smaller until I find a way to compress it down more and make it look right. I don't know what Twit's doing from a size standpoint and what compression stuff they're using. They've never really released their secret sauce of their settings for compression or how they're getting as good a video as they are. 2 hours of video and 300 megs, that's just incredibly small. The only thing I can think of is that for mobile, they're making it tiny. That's the only thing I can think that they're doing. But please send me the RSS feed, Peter, to the stuff that you're subscribed to over at Twit, and I'll take a look. I'll tear apart one of their files using some analysis tools I have. Finally, is I've got an initial email. And this is this one's kind of bipartisan. Todd, I understand that your issues with reported lapse in security within the Washington political power elite. I served over 4 years in the Air Force at Andrews Air Force Base, flying Washington area VIP support. This is where Air Force One calls home. I received an education in power politics. I've been a student of power politics ever since. Guilt or innocence of any particular individual, little to do with Democrats, Republicans, or their parties. It has to do with the amount of political power or support a particular individual has within the power structure and the gravity of their situation. I've observed this in every power structure, public or private, and it isn't usually dark or clandestine as this may sound. Sometimes, all a person needs is the power to suppress or detour an embarrassing investigation. We may never know the truth about classified emails on a personal server. We can just observe the political theater of power politics. I like that. I like that, Jack. That's good. Power politics and the power that they play. And you're right. They all get away with stuff, don't they? Okay. That's going to be the end of the show. This is the last live show here while I'm still in Hawaii. A little rushed, little weird tonight because I'm kind of anxious to get on the road. But it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. We're going to go cold iron here in the studio. A complete power down. There will be no juice to any of the gear while I'm gone. So all the gear here, and it's a little scary going cold iron this long because electronics are funny. They like to run. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope everything comes back up when I get back here just before turkey time. But again, maybe some short shows along with the long shows. But we'll play it by ear. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And I will be audio. Audio only. No video. No camera. No live. It'll just be me in a hotel room talking to you. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your emails. And any topics that you may have on the show, we do appreciate you when you support our sponsors. It is greatly appreciated. And consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Until next time, from the East Coast, everyone take care. We'll see ya. Aloha.